It's 6:36, and I'm going to call this meeting to order, and I'll ask everyone to rise to salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. So I'm going to do the roll call. Bob?
Lisa? Here.
Loretta Sexton, here. Danny Soto,
here.
Linda Fusco, I'm present. We have a full house, there's a quorum, and we'll move on to approval of the minutes. Did everybody have a chance to review the minutes for March 7th?
Yes.
Okay, is discussion on the motion? Okay. Can I then have a motion to accept as written?
I'll make a motion to approve the Derby Housing Authority meeting dated March 7, 2024.
Okay.
I second.
Thank you, Loretta. So, Bobbin, is there a discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. So, additions, deletions, and corrections. Does anyone have them besides me?
I'm sorry?
No.
Additions, deletions, corrections.
No.
Okay. So, under additions, I have under new business, officer elections. That would be number 1C. And then I have discussion of finances and the pilot, which would be new business D. Is there a motion to add these items?
I'll make a motion.
Danny, thank you. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Loretta. Is there any discussion on the additions? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries. Public portion. I see that Ms. Palmer is here, and I thank her for making an effort to get here. Would you like to speak? Can you all hear her?
I want to know the update of, you know, what's going on with the testing.
I asked Zuri today. Zuri, do you want to speak to that?
Yes. So Jessica, who works for Ty and Bond, she's also out on medical leave. They're looking for her approval before submitting any reports to us. So by the last that I reached out to him, it was the 27th of March, and he's waiting for her return. So Peter and Jessica are both out on medical leave. So that's been the delay with them getting us the remediation plan.
And there's no other supervisor, or would she be able to get it by fax or have them scan it in so that she could look at it and improve it from home?
No. He said he has to wait until she's back in the office and that he would let me know once she's back in, and they're in the process of completing it.
Okay. I'm yeah. Sorry, Ms. Palmer. We've okay. done our best to get it. Do you have anything else you want to talk
about? Yeah.
The newsletters to come around.
Okay. Is there anything you hear?
Not really, no.
All right. Do you want to slide the phone down?
The newsletters that come in the door, they're always yellow. No, your rules are not all that. I want to know the smoking policy. Who made that policy? Was it the board a long time ago or what?
Well,
that was a policy. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So that was a policy that I worked with the attorney on to implement. That was a rule that they wanted implemented for a while now. So when we redid all the leases in April, we did implement the no smoking policy. So once we implemented the policy, you know, we bring it to the board for their approval, and then we implement that into the new leases. So that is how that policy came about.
You know, really, there's not supposed to smoking, and the gentleman he was the executive director. He grandfathered people in at one point. You weren't supposed to smoke. You were supposed to only smoke outside. If you were a previous smoker and you moved in before the lease changed, you were grandfathered in, but you weren't allowed to smoke in the apartment. And people did. People took advantage. They didn't smoke outside. They just kept doing what they were doing. The apartments are stinky. Sometimes people would complain. People that were upstairs would say that the smoke was going up or the smoke was going to the side and it was affecting them. You know, a lot of seniors have breathing problems. So it was difficult. So the board decided that when it came time to amend, we were going to take smoking out completely. Is that an issue? Because if we need to offer somebody smoking cessation classes, we can do that.
Yes, next door, number 8.
Okay.
It's been worse all month. It was worse even Tuesday when I came home.
Number 8.
I don't have the windows open. I don't, you know. One night I had to open up the door 1:30 in the morning and shut up, but I had the heat, you know. There's smoke inside next door. It's been going on for some time. And I just wanted to know what can be done about it.
So, Zori, if somebody's in chronic violation of the lease, I mean, you know, if it's the first time, obviously we send them a letter.
Right.
What's the ultimate?
Well, the first step, and I did speak with Ms. Palmer about this, is that we need it in writing, because in order for the attorney to submit the pre-termination notice, we need it documented in a complaint form. And we did speak about that prior. We can't take any verbal, we can't take anything anonymous. It has to be documented in full detail as to what's going on in order for us to move forward in the next step. So if she, you know, provides me a written complaint, I can send it to the attorney and then that person would get a letter. If it doesn't stop within a specific time frame, then they get the notice to quit. So that's how we've been handling it. Yeah.
So I have a question. Due to that she's here today and this is being recorded and documented, can this be part of the written statement or it has to be a actual written statement?
It has to be written from the tenant. And he actually advised me, you know, if any tenants are having issues writing up a complaint, they can come to the office and we can assist them with that. It has to be in writing, signed off by the resident.
Okay.
So Ms. Palmer, can you do that? Can you get over it? Because, you know, first of all, opening the door at 1:30 in the morning and leaving it open is probably not the safest thing to do. But secondly, while I apologize that you're being so inconvenient, but we're willing to help you if you give us the complaint in writing. Okay. Anything else you'd like to talk about? Okay. Any questions? So is there anybody else from the public on the phone who wishes to speak? Anybody else from the public? Last call. Anybody else from the public? Hearing none, I'm going to close public portion and we'll move down to old business 7A, monthly report from Imagineers. Okay, my friend. It's the floor is yours, Maria.
All right, thank you. Hello, everybody. So we still haven't gotten the information in regards to the HUD funding. It's typical. And just recently, we got a notice that the new income limits are out. And what I'm seeing, and I was not able to do all the analysis of it just yet, but it seems like it's anywhere between $3,000 and $4,000 increment in the income levels for assistance, so which is good because that'll help, you know, participants with their rent burden as well as qualifying, you know, folks coming onto the program. So you know, and the income limits are effective for one. And then we have the CMAP certification that needs to get to HUD. And that's done 60 days after the fiscal year end, and Derby's fiscal year ended on March 31st. So we'll be doing that submission. And that's,
okay.
As you may recall, that's the report card that Housing
yes.
Authority
yes. gets. Mm-hmm. Ashley, look forward to seeing them because I like the feedback. I think it's helpful.
I'm sorry. I might have not heard clearly what you said.
I said I actually look forward to the feedback. I look forward to seeing the report card.
Oh, yes.
It gives us all an idea of how we're doing and where we need to improve.
Exactly. Yeah.
I agree with that. I'd love to read it.
Oh, definitely. We will share the results of our report card.
Good. So when should we expect it?
Typically then HUD after it's submitted into their secured system, mm-hmm. they have like about another 60 days in which to then give us the letter and the score for all the different indicators for that housing authority. You know, it's the lease upgrade, it's, you know, how we pull people from the waiting list, rent reasonableness, the housing quality standards, the adjusted rents, that kind of stuff. And where we're a little bit concerned is where it relates to the family self-sufficiency program.
I'm concerned as well.
Yes.
I don't know quite what to do. Does it make sense to look for another coordinator?
Well, I think in Zuri, maybe you could speak a little bit more on this.
But
there was an email that was based. Is it safe for me to say that there's kind of like a hold on that aspect of it?
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Dewan, who is our liaison for HUD, had advised that we kind of put a hold on it until we discuss what's going on with the grant itself, because the weekly reports that were being submitted did not match up to the grant that we were being funded. So she had put in a call to headquarters, and she said she would keep me posted with the update on that. But for now, it's pretty much on hold until we hear back from headquarters.
And nobody let us know that?
Dewan let me know that. Dewan from HUD.
But I mean, at the point where the employee was there and could have adjusted them, had she been told? Were you told after she left?
Yes, this was all told after the fact, after she was terminated.
Okay. Right. Anything else that we should discuss about that?
Are you asking me? I'm sorry.
Well, either you or Zuri. I mean, is there anything that I'm not addressing here? I mean, I understand how we got into the situation, I think.
We were awarded a full-time grant for that position.
Correct.
It's just she just wasn't, you know, doing the full-time work. I mean, I talked with her several times about, you know, the grant needing to match what her roles were, and it just wasn't matching up. So the way that HUD looks at it is we were awarded all this money for full time, but she wasn't doing a full time workers, you know, she wasn't doing that. So I mean,
is it that she wasn't doing it, or was she just not documenting it correctly?
She wasn't doing it. I mean, I had a conversation with her, and her words to me were she's not going to make up make up her day. And I said, that's fine. And she said she's documenting what she did for the 8 hours. And, you know, it just didn't, it's not a full-time schedule. So, you know, she was, you know, terminated for other reasons, but, you know, HUD has to review this as well to see where we stand with the grant right now.
Maria, off the top of your head, do you know how many cases FSS had when it was transferred back to us? It had to be within the number that qualified for a full-time grant because it came to you not qualified for full-time.
Right. And through the pandemic there, I guess that there were maybe two different occasions where the grant only allowed for part-time FSS coordinator. And then through the pandemic, there was like a waiver. So you had a previous full-time coordinator, but then it wasn't meeting that criteria. So then it went down to a part-time. So hence, that's why she decided to leave, was my understanding. But then through COVID, HUD allowed, they gave that waiver. Okay, you know, we understand, you know, because of, you know, the dynamics of COVID and people not working and whatnot. Then they granted the full-time FSS coordinator amount, salary. And then
I just didn't want to ask the question about anything. So we didn't get the full-time.
Yeah, we did.
Wage back. No, I know, but we didn't get it because we had the right numbers. We had it. We got it because COVID, they gave us an allowance for COVID.
Right.
And so they go back to full-time, understanding that the numbers probably weren't there, but could be built up because we were past the pandemic.
Correct.
Okay. I thought we got it from you with higher numbers. So I'm thankful that you clarified that for me.
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead with what you were saying.
No, you know, basically that, you know, that was it. I don't know what those numbers were prior to, you know, when we came into, you know, the administration for Derby. I can't recall, but then, you know, we were, it got granted. You know, you were getting not the full points, but at least that it allowed, you know, for the whole time. And then it just kind of fell apart, you know, with, you know, and a lot, I believe a lot has to do with the fact that there's, you know, if there's no interest, you know, then there's no interest. You know, we had documented when we were kind of helping out, and then when it changed, you know, the rules of, you know, FSS, where it was very clear that, you know, we couldn't, you know, that FSS coordinator had to be exclusive for the FSS mandates and criteria. You know, we were maintaining those numbers, and we had some of the graduates, you know, within that percentage, you know, and it wasn't at the full amount because your FSS slots are, the mandatory slots are 25. But then it dropped drastically where, you know, HUD now is you know, is kind of saying, you know, what's going on? We need to have a meeting, we need to figure out what's going on. And hopefully, you know, it's documented that, you know, all those efforts were done in order to, you know, to have those numbers.
Okay. So did the meeting take place? Is it still being scheduled?
Zuri, you haven't heard anything else from
Dewan? No, not since a week ago. The last that I heard from her was she was talking with headquarters and that she would get back to me with the result. And that was about a week ago that I talked or that I emailed her.
Okay. Well, keep us posted on that, because I think probably one will want to be a part of that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
No problem.
Okay. And Emma, would somebody from Imagineers, since you probably have a better handle, plus you all handled it last before it came down to this employee.
Yes, and we have, you know, we have the backup for it. So, and the hope is that, you know, Derby is able to show that, you know, all of these efforts were done in order to get participants to, you know, sign up for these slots.
I hope so too. Are other communities struggling with these programs, with
Yeah,
this program in particular?
there's some. I mean, in a long time ago, one of our other housing authorities, they didn't have a mandatory FSS. It was voluntary, and then it got to that point as well. We did all of the advertisements. We would do, you know, all of the orientations in-house to try to get people to sign up. You know, you got the escrow, you know, that you could do anything at the end of, you know, your contract, you know, which is 5 years. And HUD has changed a lot of the rules, so it's a lot more beneficial for folks. But you have to have that interest for that, you know, participant to sign in and figure out what those three goals are and achieve those goals. But we struggled with one of our housing authorities, but again, it wasn't like how this one is through a grant. It wasn't through a grant. We did it, you know, with the monies that were coming in from the you know, from the HAP authority, you know, budget authority and the admin fee. And then after a while, then because there was no interest, then HUD was okay, and we documented all of that, you know, showed them where, you know, we had made all of those extra efforts to get people to sign into that, and we just didn't have that interest. So
Right, correct.
I want to say that that's the case with Derby, you know, as well. I mean, Emma was the coordinator. I have to talk to her a little bit and get all of that lined up for whenever, you know, HUD reaches out again to have a meeting.
I know that the Derby coordinator prior to this last employee, she had a hard time too. I mean, she would say that all, and that was pre-COVID, that, you know, people just don't wanna to do it. And even though sometimes they could see the advantage, they just weren't interested. So her numbers were pretty low too when you took it over.
No, and it's not like, you know, to answer, you know, your question. It could be difficult, you know. Do you have some that are successful? Yes, you know, and usually it's the bigger ones. You know, and with you know, when you have, you know, more of the bigger population, the program participants, that program is large, so that you could do it. Like the one that I was just telling you about, the allocations were only like 30 at that point.
Right. So if they don't recommend that we get a program back, is that like a mark against our record?
I think we would need to document that, you know, look, there's no interest in it, and then you don't go for that grant, and then therefore you wouldn't be, you know, it's not part of your portfolio, so you wouldn't be scored on that. I just don't
Okay.
know what's going to happen with the grant money. You know, and that's where I'm concerned. You know, what is it that they're going to tell the housing authority?
To give it back.
Yes, they're going to do that, and then they'll distribute it. It's historically been an issue. There's just a lack of interest, but we have to show good faith effort.
Exactly.
So, Zuri, off the top of your head, do you know how much would have to go back?
I think it
You
was
know what?
close to 90,000, I want to say, approximately.
Okay.
Yeesh.
And that's money we already have, correct?
Right. We've already been awarded that money.
Okay. Well, I guess we're just going to have to sit back and wait until HUD makes a decision.
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll get back to Zuri, you know, to schedule this meeting.
Okay, good, good. All right. Anybody else have questions for Maria, or do you still have more presentation to make?
No, that was it on my part.
All right. Maria, as always, thank you so much.
Oh, you're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thank you, everybody. Have you're a good welcome. Night. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. All right. So we'll move along to in old business 2B. That's the monthly report from Regina. Has everyone seen the report?
Yes.
All right. And anybody have any questions? I don't think Regina is on, correct? Okay, so she's not. Any questions for Zuri that she can take back? Regina?
Not from me.
Okay. All right. So then we'll move on to new business, and we'll go to A, discussion on residents at each site being trained on the use of defibrillators in the case of an emergency. So I can tell you that Tom Leonard from the Ambulance Corps came to me, and he said he was writing a grant so that we could get maybe six defibrillators, two to each unit. And we would have to recruit some residents who were healthy and willing to be trained because they felt like they could do it. Zuri, how are we coming with that?
She's done pretty well. Regina's has reached out to residents at each of the sites. I think she has about three at each, the last that we spoke about it. They are interested in being trained, the CPR, the AED. They were just waiting on the next step as far as the grant is concerned. But she does have people that are interested in being trained.
Go ahead, Bob. Were you saying something?
No.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that I think the grant has been submitted, but we haven't gotten an answer back from Mr. Leonard. So I'm glad that you know we have interest. He will come and train them if we get the defibrillators, and he'll gladly come and train them. And if we don't get the grant, then he still can come and train on CPR for people who are interested. Okay. Any questions? Discussion on park. Excuse me. Sorry. Thank you so much. Discussion on updating parking policy at Lakeview. Do you want to talk
about? Yes. So recently, we've been getting a lot of calls in the main office about parking and people switching parking spots with different residents. Some people are switching parking spaces for individuals that don't even own a car. And it's just gotten a little bit out of hand. So what I spoke with our attorney about it, and because there are numbered spaces at Lakeview, mm-hmm. We were just considering, you know, every resident has to park in their numbered space. There can't be any switching. There can't be any, you can take this spot, I'll take yours, because it just got, we've been getting a lot of complaints about people parking in other spots that they're not supposed to. So, I just had a conversation with our attorney where we would send a letter out to residents at Lakeview stating mm-hmm. that their number is where they have to park. They can't switch with anyone else. And if they don't have a vehicle, then technically they don't have a spot. And if visitors are coming to, you know, to visit them, they would have to use the visitors parking on the side. So that is what we were kind of talking about, just to avoid confusion, that everyone mm-hmm. would just keep their numbered space.
So how would I know that Park 13 is being utilized by that person? Do they get like a sticker on their vehicles where if a police
yes.
officer comes by,
Yes.
No.
So we work with Frank's Towing out of Ansonia. He does come by. He drives by the properties. He'll see who doesn't have a sticker and who does. But the parking sticker would indicate where they have to park. And if they, okay. Yeah, so they'd have to park in their numbered spaces.
Okay. I mean, to me, it's fair because the last time there was a brouhaha up here about parking, we ended up repainting, renumbering. Yep. We did the whole thing.
Right. Yep. Right.
So, I mean, you can't keep everybody happy all the time, but they've got assigned spaces. In my opinion, they should just stay in them.
Yeah.
Right.
Do we want to make a motion to do that?
I'll make a motion for that.
That we... go ahead.
Send a letter advising everyone to park in their designated areas. There's no swapping. There's no exchanging. And that it's going to be strictly enforced.
I'll second
that.
Whoop.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. Any discussion on the motion?
No.
Okay. Pretty hearing sure. None. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Motion carries. So we're going to do elections. We didn't do them in January. We generally do. You all know I took a full-time job, and it's a struggle for me to give everything as much time as it should have. And so I talked to Danny. And so what we're proposing is an election where Danny would run for chair. I would run for vice chair. Bob, you will stay as treasurer. Do you want to take secretary? No, she does not. Okay. So we'll continue to not have a secretary, but all right. I'll make the motion that Danny will take over as chair. I will take over as vice chair. Bob will remain as treasurer. We'll be without a secretary. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Is there anything that people want to talk about or... Okay, thank you. I really appreciate this because it's getting to be a struggle. Danny understands that, you know, he's got to sign checks. I will sign them this month. I'll finish chairing the meeting. I'll sign the check, and then we'll have to make a switch. Danny's got to be given a number in ELOC. Zuri, I'll do your recertification in ELOC. However, he's going to need to learn how to do that because, you know, we used to do it once a year, and now all of a sudden they're asking for them like every 3 months, which is crazy. But
right.
Security reasons, I get it. So mm-hmm. Thank you for that. It's still a great team, and I'm happy to be a part of it. Okay, so I want to talk. I asked to add finances on the list, and just to talk a little bit about one of the reasons why is that. You, Danny, you probably don't know, but I think the other two of you do, that we are not really run by the city. We're an entity by ourselves. And when you look at the three sites, they don't belong to the city. They belong to the housing authority. So the agreement that was made many years ago, long before me, is that we don't pay taxes like a resident owner would pay or a business owner would pay, but we pay something called a pilot annually that covers us for taxes. Now, last year, our pilot was about 69. It was under 70,000. It was 69 and change. I don't have the figures. And Zuri never got an invoice from the person in charge. She came to me last week and she said, "Hey, you guys didn't pay your pilot last month," and I said, or last year, and I said, "I don't know, I'm pretty sure." Dory and I had a conversation about that. So she went into her system. So to make a long story short, we did not get an invoice. We didn't pay it last year. It's due again this year. So technically, we owe about $140 for the 2 years. I asked Dory to call the our fee accountant and asked, was that doable? And she said no. So that wasn't a big shock, but I did ask her to go back and ask if we could do one, you know, at least pay for last year so that we don't get behind. And she said it would really be putting us at some risk. So I think we need to take a harder look. Maybe what we should do at some point or for the next meeting is ask Dawn, her name is Montanaro, the fee accountant, to either come down and talk with us or to get on a Zoom and talk to us about where we are with finances. Because if you remember, if you look back in the minutes, last month we talked about changing the handles on the doors. We talked about buying a minivan. I think there was something else that, but we, you know, I'm sure there's something else that I'm forgetting that we really need money for. So I just want us to be able to understand where we are financially and what kind of things, because we can't blindly just say, oh yeah, we want this. There was nothing that we voted on that I didn't think we needed. And obviously the rest of you were in agreement. So you didn't do this, you know, haphazardly, but I think we just need a better handle on the finances. So I'm thinking that it would make sense to, like I said, either ask Dawn to come down to a meeting or Zoom in on a meeting and let's have the conversation about what we need to do or how we can, because I see in some kitties, I printed stuff out today. Bob, if you stop at my office tomorrow, I'll be happy to. So I know one of the things people have been telling me that they're having problems printing off their phones, these reports, these monthly reports. So what I finally did was to send them to my work computer, and I was able to print them off there. In one of the funds, we have like over $1 million, but it's not a fund that we can touch. And then that goes to the conversation is, do we have too much money in one bank? That would be... Hang on, let me just look. Okay, so this is, that's your story, not me. Sorry about that. Okay, so anyway, I have February, and that's close enough to give you an idea. In the, the state elderly program, we have $1.5 million was the balance at the end of February 24. And in the Section 8 vouchers, we had 688,455.35. In the revolving fund, we have 128.89. So I just want to understand, like, if we needed to pay that $69, at the very least, if we were to put some of the other things aside, it'd be helpful to understand why we can't. Or and then I can see if we can pay it back in pieces to City Hall. Can we give them, you know, a half and a half or a quarter and a quarter and a quarter and a quarter? I just don't want us to get too far behind, but I think we all would benefit from having a better idea where we stand.
That's a good idea, Linda. We need to bring her down or, you know, get her on. Because we have to pay some of the pile down. And I'm sure the city would take, you know, some sort of installment that we both agreed on.
I think so, too. I mean, I know that the city is not in good shape and they can use all the money that they can get. But I think, you know, if we understand, you know, where we are and maybe how we got there. I know that we paid last year, we paid a chunk of money that we owed from Steiger Terrace to the people who had. Yeah, so that's paid off, I think, except for the two that I couldn't find. So we don't have to do that again. But, oh, the radon. When we get the report, I don't know, Zori, is the report paid for? Because I know we're going to have to pay for the remediation.
Right. No, it's not paid for yet. They're still working on the report and finalizing it. So that they haven't even submitted to me yet.
But the fact finding where they found the radon, that report with the testing, that's paid for.
Right. That's been taken care of.
Okay. So I know that, well, I mean, radiation remediation, that's kind of a priority. Mm-hmm. So maybe the city is going to have to take a backseat. I think we just need to understand what we have and how we can spend it. And okay, so I don't know that there's any vote we have to take, but further discussion?
No, but I think it's important. We need to prioritize once we get a handle on, you know, our finances and how much, but we definitely, yeah, we're going to have to prioritize what we're going to pay.
Sure, because, you know, Loretta and Danny might not, but not know, but you and I have been through it. You can't shift money from, just because you have a million in this pot doesn't mean that you can take it, because that's how, before Bob and I got on, that's how the housing authority got in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So we don't want to be in trouble again.
Nope.
So, all right, good. So I'll make it a point to do that. We'll invite her down, or at least ask her, and Zori will put her on the agenda unless she tells us it's not good for her. And then we'll try to find the month that we can bring Dawn down or have her join us by phone, have the conversation.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Subsidized housing coordinator. It's all yours, Zori.
Yes. So attached in the payment history here, we do have some items that are kind of large, particularly Shriver, the landscaping that he did for the month of February. That was $20,175. Tie-in bond, which is, you know, the work that they've been doing for us for the PBV initiative. That was $7,321, you know, as you can see. As far as the sites, we do have, actually, we had two residents that passed away last week back to back. So that adds two more vacancies to this report. Currently, at Steiger, Unit 25 is ready. We're just waiting to hear back from that applicant. Unit 10, we also sent the letter to the next person on the waiting list. We're just waiting for a response. Currently at CC, Unit 70, our new maintenance guy, Junior, is working in there, getting that prepared for the new person. So as soon as he's done doing what he has to do, we can send the letter to the next person. 85, that one actually, I got a call today that the person that I showed the unit to does want the unit. So she's going to be moving in, if not mid-April, by May the 1st. For Lakeview, we have Unit 25 and 12. Those maintenance have not gotten a chance to get to just yet. So Willie is working on 10. As soon as they're done with that, we'll, you know, meet and see what the next unit they have to work on.
So let me just count them for me. How many units in progress do we have that are empty?
Right now, the two that came through, or those are actually not empty yet, but we have unit 25, 10, 70, 25. We have about four.
Okay, four
and
units.
That's not including the two. Yeah.
Okay, so four plus two?
So six.
Is what we're going to have total.
Right.
Okay, so there's at least two coming, so... So about six units that need turnover.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks for clarifying.
I did talk with maintenance. I let them know, you know, we had two deaths. Another resident had a brain aneurysm. He's not able to come back and live independently. So, you know, they are aware of what's going on. They're just, you know, taking it one day at a time and getting the work done that they need to get done on top of doing the regular work orders, as well.
I'm really sorry to hear that.
I know it's been really busy. But yeah, they're doing the best that they can. Another thing I wanted to mention, I did send Danny an email as far as the rails that are needed at Steiger. Willie walked around and he made a list of what needed front, back, or just what needed just front and just back. There was only one, I think, that had both. So for the rest of the 35 units, we're working on getting railings and getting a quote on that. So, you know, they have something to grab on when they're leaving or entering their apartment. So that's another thing that we're working on. As far as the work at Lakeview, those metal beams, two of the people that came out to take a look are suggesting that a structural engineer come out and make a suggestion as far as what needs to be done. One of the contractors that came out said that that wasn't needed, and that he, you know, he would submit us a quote without that part included. But mm-hmm. because we're fixing something that, even though we're not adding on or making any additions to the complex, we are mm-hmm. kind of fixing something that needs to be repaired. So I'm thinking that a structural engineer probably should come out and you know, outline what exactly needs to be done, because it's getting to the point where it's becoming dire and that we fix it right away. You know, there's one of the beams that are completely corroded, and I was told by two of the contractors that all four need to be replaced. There's no way we can salvage them. So I'm still waiting on the quotes. One quote that I got, I think his name was ARP Welding. He said for the structural engineer to come out and assess and, you know, tell us what needs to be fixed, that part alone was $9,400.
Ooh.
Just for the structural engineer to give us their feedback. The other two I'm still waiting on, but I did get that quote back from ARP Welding, who came out and took a look with Willie as well.
And they have a structural engineer on?
They do. Or, yep.
Okay. So we're getting three quotes?
Right. I'm waiting for the other two. So far, I only got the one from ARP Welding out of Oxford, Connecticut.
Oh boy.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what the others are going to say, but they say as far as the structural engineer and their portion, it's going to be 9,400 alone, not including the repair or the replacement of the metal beams as well.
Okay. And he said that the metal beams definitely have to be replaced.
All four. Yes. He said all four are corroded. Because I had a conversation with Danny. We discussed, you know, maybe if maintenance could salvage or scrape or, you know, clean them up a little bit and put that coating on it to where they can sustain in the weather. But he said, nope, they're all corroded. They have to be completely replaced. No.
I said, not those four, but the others in between that are covered, are that corroded as well, or only those four corners? Because I said the rest of it could be taken apart, cleaned up, and painted over with that special paint. I always
right,
agree.
And he said, he's saying, no, that cannot be done. That's what I'm saying. He said okay. that they cannot be, that cannot be done. They have to be replaced. So all that maintenance did, they exposed the area. They took all that sheetrock, that wood down so that, you know, the contractors could see the work that needs to be done. Nothing can be painted and clean up. It just has to be replaced from what he's saying.
All the beams or just the four corners?
We're just working on the four corners. I mean, we didn't even look at all of them because we're just focusing on the four corners and that's it. I mean, if we do all of them, that's probably going to be, you know, a lot
more.
No,
that's right. I'm misunderstanding you. I know that the four corners are corroded, but the other ones that they did expose, there's nothing wrong with them. That's why there's the I'm confused on what you're saying. The four corners, definitely one is worse than the other. And then the others that they did take apart that I was able to see, there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. They're underneath. The four corners just got rained on, covered, and throughout the years just corroded. So the remaining of the beams, so this 94K, the 94,000 is just for them to look at the four corners and give us
correct.
Their opinion on how to fix it.
Correct.
Okay.
And we're waiting on two more. So hopefully, I mean, this has been pending for a while. So hopefully they come back soon.
Yep. But nope, that's all that I'm waiting for. The rest of those quotes. And yeah, as soon as I get them, I will keep you guys posted.
Okay, sounds good. anything else, Dory, on your report?
No, that was all.
Okay. So we don't need executive session. We're going to skip item number 10. I feel like we can adjourn. Bob, are you in agreement?
Yes, Linda, I am.
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Yep. So it's 7:26, and I will make a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you so much for your time today. Bob, if you're around tomorrow, stop it up and see me, and I'll give you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Linda, I am not around tomorrow.
Oh. All right. Well, whenever you are, I'll keep them in mind.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care. And I'll be in on Monday to sign those checks. Okay. Thanks. Bye.